Good morning. Thank you. As you guys, or many of you know, I was gone last week. We were on vacation. And I had picked this text before I had left because Cheryl said, asked me to have it done so she could take care of all the stuff before she left. And so I've had 2 weeks to sit and think about this text and to really look at it and study it. And it really brings to mind some questions that we all have. But Jesus also, in our text today, lays down an imperative. And an imperative is a theological term for a demand. You know, most of the time what you hear me talk about is the grace of God, about what God has done that we can and know that heaven is our home. But there's something that comes along with being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the imperative, the demand. And that's really one of the things that we will focus on today. But we will also understand that even in what He demands of us, we take on His merit because He has completed it for us. And so, because of what He has done, I can bring you all greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Word. Reading in Jesus' name. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took up 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Amen. Please be seated. A certain lawyer stands up, an expert in the law. He knew the Pentateuch. That was his job, was to know what the law said. Those first 5 books of the Old Testament. And he's going to test Jesus. And I think this is an interesting way of putting it. It's almost like he was going to try to make Jesus stumble. But he asks a question that every human being asks himself at one time. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And see, this is really what it comes down to, because we sometimes think that somehow it is what we do that makes us ready for eternal life. It's what our actions are. And Jesus doesn't really change this man's mind in the whole context of our story. What he starts to do is he starts to question him. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Classic Jesus when somebody questions him. Very simple question. You know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Well, wait a minute. You know the law. What does it say? How do you understand it? And the lawyer comes up with a great answer. And Jesus even says that. He's answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Simple, huh? And see, this is the hard part. Because, yeah, the answer's simple. But we, in the flesh, have a real hard time with this whole deal. As much as we'd like to say, yep, every moment we're devoted to God, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that in most instances, we are devoted to ourselves and our own self-interest. And so, Jesus also knows this. It's the reason that he came, answers the lawyer. "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Now here becomes the hard part. Because the lawyer knows who he is. And so he wants to try to just somehow justify himself, to give, make himself good enough to be worthy of eternal life. Who is my neighbor? And really, if you bring that down to the Greek word, what it really means is, who is near me? Who are those who are near me? It's not just somebody who lives in the house next to me. It's a much greater thing than that. It's basically whoever you come in contact with. That's who is near you. That is who your neighbor is. And Jesus goes on now to tell the parable. The one which really is backwards to the hearers of the day. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going by down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Now, a priest is the one who serves God in the temple. That's his whole life. Doing the prescribed rituals, making sure that all the parts of the law were followed, and doing, that's it. That was his whole life. Jesus is telling this to Jews. This is a Jew who is down in the ditch because he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the good, wonderful priest sees him lying in the ditch and walks by on the opposite side of the road. There was a need there, but he didn't have enough time to get his hands dirty. He didn't want to soil himself by getting involved. Now, the people of the day would have thought, well, yeah, that's right. This is what you do. You can't, priest can't defile himself by getting dirty. And so Jesus goes on to talk now. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. A Levite, too, he was born into the job of serving at the temple. That's all they did. They didn't have land. They served at the temple. And so their whole life was the devotion of God to God. He would be considered one of the good guys. These are the greatest people to be. A priest and a Levite, you can't get any better than that. When he sees the man bleeding, half dead in the ditch, and instead of even walking by and saying, "Bless you," he went around on the other side of the road. And you see, we sometimes go, well, okay, but we'd help somebody out like that. But many times, no, we don't. We don't want to get involved. Because it's messy when you get involved. When you get involved with those who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are suffering, those who are caught up in sin, it's messy. It requires your time and your effort. And most of the time, we don't like to give that. We say, yeah. Well, if you need something, you know, call the Salvation Army or the church. They'll get you a little. They'll take care of you. It's not our responsibility anymore. Somebody else will do it. And now I'm going to get a little personal because I've been thinking about this and talking about this with both the board and the last couple weeks. We've asked for volunteers. I'm getting personal now. We've asked for volunteers for a couple of different tasks within the body, this body. And what we get is, no. I don't have time. No one responds. It's been put out before us and nothing happens. And these are the type of things that, yes, we say we love God. But how do we demonstrate that? Do we show it by our actions and what we do for people and how we serve? Or do we show up on Sunday morning and go, "My, wasn't that a wonderful sermon?" And now I go on about my business and serve myself. We end up acting like the lawyer. We try to justify ourselves. And Jesus turns the whole world upside down by what he says next in this parable. But a Samaritan. Now we again have to understand a Samaritan. A Samaritan would be considered like a half-breed. Someone who had intermarried, a Jew who had intermarried, had perverted the law of God, didn't worship in the temple, but worshipped on a mountaintop. And to a good religious Jew, to compare a Samaritan with a Levite and a priest would be like comparing, oh, we'll go real easy, the Billy Grahams of this world with Osama bin Laden. That's how big the divide would be in our minds. There is nothing worse than being a Samaritan. But as he journeyed, he came to where he was, the man who was robbed. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So now the worst of the worst is showing compassion. He dumps wine and oil on him, which would be an antiseptic, into his wounds. He cleans him up. He gets him onto his own animal, so he doesn't have to walk. And brings him someplace where there's now a roof over his head, a place where he can recover, a bed to sleep on, and food to eat. And the next day he takes out about 2 days' wages. And the next day he took 2 denarii and gave it to them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And actually, that's about 4 days' wages. And so now he makes the innkeeper, someone who would really just clean rooms and serve food, become a nurse. And he pays him very handsomely. 4 days' wages is a lot. Think about what you make in 4 days working at your job. It's not something that we easily part with for someone we don't know. The Samaritan, the one who's the worst of the worst, is the one who has compassion. And Jesus then comes and asks the question, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? Right away, we who've heard this story, many of us since we were little, say, oh yeah, the Samaritan. He's the good Samaritan. What we fail to realize is to the audience that Jesus was talking to, there is no such thing as a good Samaritan. This can't happen. A Samaritan cannot do good. And so for the lawyer to answer the way he did, the one who showed him mercy, and Jesus said to him, go, you go, and do likewise. There is no way anybody in that day and age that was a Jew wanted to be like a Samaritan. And to so follow a Samaritan's example would be absolutely wrong. But see, Jesus knew who we were. He knew who the people were listening to him were. And he knew that we could never do all of this on our own. We cannot love God and love our neighbor. Not in total. Not without a lot of help. And so, he gave us a lot of help. He went to the cross, shed his blood for our sins, allowed himself to die there. And 3 days later, he was raised again so that we could have new life. And then he breathed upon his disciples and told them to receive ye the Holy Spirit. You see, we don't have to do this on our own. It is not by our power, but is by the gift of God through the person of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be able to attempt this. And we heard in our scripture reading from Paul we heard this. So, as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, may you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul's calling is for us to bear fruit because we have now been qualified to be children of God, because we now have been brought into that inheritance. And now becomes the responsibility. I talk a lot about the grace, and I want to make sure that you understand that first. That God has done this work for you. That you are forgiven. Requiring nothing except that you believe it. But then as you believe it, there is a responsibility. It's not what makes you holy. It's not what saves you. It's what you are called to bring to the rest of the world. To your neighbors, so that they too could know the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask at this time that we would stand and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose from the dead. He sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.